Vieira, without the annoying pings. Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom, and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Vayera. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 18th day of Mar Cheshvan, 5770, November 5th. The significance to me, and I think in the awareness of many, many people, especially here in Israel, of the 18th of Cheshvan is that it is already after the 17th of Cheshvan. Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Shir Hama'alot Mima'amakim Karaticha Adonai. Adonai Shema V'Koli, Tehiena Aznecha Kashuvot L'Kol Tachanunai. Im Avonot Tishmor Yah Adonai Mi'amod, Ki Imecha Hasalicha L'Ma'an Tivarei. Kiviti Adonai kiveta nafshi velidvaro hocholti. Nafshi ladonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai kim Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya haomedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha. Hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mimitzara liyirvacha u'me'afela l'ora u'mishibud l'geula hashta ba'agala u'vizman kariv v'nomar amen. As you know, Torah Tidbits Audio has been carried for quite a number of years on Arutz Sheva in Israel National Radio, first on the radio itself, then also on internet, then only on internet. More recently, but quite a number of years already, it's been broadcast also on the internet at OU Radio. And we have found out recently that Torah Tidbits Audio and several other shows from Israel National Radio are broadcast on Radio Shalom in Montreal, Canada, 1650 AM every Friday, Torah Tibbetz Audio at least, and therefore I would like to welcome to the listenership, even though you've been listening for a number of weeks already, welcome to the listenership, listeners of Radio Shalom in Montreal, as well as those who listen to Israel National Radio and OU Radio. Welcome. Back to the date for a moment. The 17th of Cheshvan, yesterday's date, is a source of a certain kind of nervousness vis-a-vis rain. Israel, like many countries and unlike many other countries, has a rainy season and a dry season. And we need rain. We get reports always about the Kinneret level dropping and the danger line and the red line of this and a scarcity of water over the last number of years has produced near crisis situation, maybe even crisis situation, and each year brings its own concerns. Religiously, it was on Shmini Atzeret, here in Israel also known as Simchat Torah, that we said Tfilat Geshem, a prayer for rain. Sukkot, the holiday of Sukkot, according to our tradition, based on the Mishnah, the world is judged for water, for rainfall. Collectively, how much rain will fall, I would imagine also where it would be destructive kind of rain and where it would be beneficial and where it would not be enough. And I mentioned this in weeks past, but it is a preoccupation of many people's thoughts these days. I remember the first year after I came on Aliyah, going back 28 years, that it rained, and my daughter, atypical of a kid 5 years old, who in the States would probably sing Rain, Rain, Go Away, Come Again Another Day, would probably be a little down in the mouth, can't go out and play in the street, and go to the park, and be generally gloomy, as many adults would be also, was singing and dancing because of the rain. And she had learned in the very short time she had been here at that point that rain was a very good thing and a very welcome thing, and she responded to it with a certain childlike innocence that hopefully has continued throughout her lifetime since then and has been transmitted to her own children. I feel a similar way. In any event, Shmini Atzeret, we started saying that God is the causer of the wind to blow and the rain to fall. Mashiv haruach umorid hageshem. Every day, three times a day in the Amidah. Then, 2 weeks after that, on the 7th of Cheshvan, just 11 days ago, we started asking God for rain in the bracha of Borech Aleinu with the words V'tein tal umatar livracha. The Mishnah in Ta'anit, which tells us of this sequence, that on the last day of the Chag we start mentioning God as the rainmaker, 2 weeks later on the 7th of Cheshvan we ask for rain, then continues to say, if it has not rained by the 17th of Cheshvan, then it's an indication that we're possibly in for a dry season, and a dry rainy season, which is not very good, and individuals would accept upon themselves to fast and to pray on behalf of all of Israel that we should have beneficial rain. Well, the 17th came this year, and on the days before it, we had quite a significant amount of rain for this time of year. It rained already at the end of October, which is not that common. Beginning of November has been rainy. Not yesterday or today. It's been quite pleasant and sunny. That's the beauty of it here. When it's sunny, it's pleasant, and when it rains, you're happy about it, or you should be. Of course, many people localize their prayers, and they say, let it rain over the Kinneret where we need the rain, and not necessarily on my head, and not necessarily on my house, which has a leak in the roof, or whatever. Be that as it may, the 17th of Cheshvan has another significance in this same topic, and that is, as we read in Parshat Noach a week and a half ago, the 17th of Cheshvan, the second month of the year, counting from creation of Tishrei, is when the Mabul, the great flood in the time of Noah, started. And the 27th is when, after a full year plus, it was over, meaning the people came out of the ark and everything had dried up. But it sort of brings home the point. The Mishnah is concerned that already by the 17th, if it hasn't rained yet, it might be a sign of a coming drought, God forbid. And the 17th of Cheshvan in the time of Noach was certainly not a drought. It was a rain to beat all rains. And that's bad too. So rain can be destructive. Lack of rain can be destructive. And therefore, when we ask God, even when we call him the Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGeshem. The Sfaradim, Edot Mizrach, have a custom of responding to the Chazan when he says those words, Livracha, for a blessing. Because we recognize that giving us rain is not enough of a request that we have for God. We want beneficial, blessed rain. Enough, in our case, a little bit more than enough, so we could replenish some of the water levels, and it should be in the most pleasant kind of form. And if that's asking for too much of God, we do it often, and we're doing it again, and we hope that He complies with our request, not necessarily as the way we, to the way we say them, but the way we should be meaning them. So that to me is the significance. Once we pass the 17th of Cheshvan, I am not naive enough to think that we've got enough rain. We have a good start, and may it continue, and may we have to use umbrellas and raincoats and rain hats and boots, but it should be, as I said, for a blessing. Let me introduce a song as my lead-in to Parshat Vayera. There is a concept, a notion, that Avraham Avinu, Father Abraham, was the first one to refer to God as Adon. Adon is either master or lord, but it acknowledges his ownership, his lording over, his masterness of, mastery of, everything. And we have, for example, a song, Adon Olam, Lord of the World, Master of the Universe, which traditionally is said as part of the morning prayers in honor of Abraham, of Avraham Avinu, because we attribute the prayer of Shacharit to him. Most people know Adon Olam more as the concluding prayer of, or song of, the davening in the morning of Shabbat, and on Friday night many shuls use Adon Olam, some use Yigdal, but it's there daily in the morning prayer because Avraham Avinu, corresponding to him, a verse from this week's Torah portion, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker, Avraham woke up early in the morning, El HaMakom Asher Amad Sham, to the place where he stood before God. And that has the connotation of standing in prayer, and the association of Avraham's prayer early in the morning as the one who established Shacharit, the morning service. So we honor him with that song, Adon Olam. This an introduction to a different Adon song, Adon HaShalom, Lord of Peace or Master of Peace. It comes from a part of the Zmirot of Friday night, one that is said by some people before Kiddush even, after Shalom Aleichem, after Eshet Chayil, but actually before Eshet Chayil, after Shalom Aleichem. Some people say, Ribon Kol HaOlamim, Master of all the worlds, of all worlds. Adon Kol HaNeshamot, Lord of all souls. And then, in the continuation of it, we have the following sentence. Adon HaShalom, Lord of Peace, Melech Shehashalom Shelo, King to whom peace belongs. Borcheni VaShalom, bless me with peace. V'tifkod oti, v'et kol b'nei v'eti, and grant me and the members of my household, v'chol amecha beit Yisrael, and all of your people, the house of Israel, a good and peaceful life. L'chaim tovim u'l'shalom. This is part of Ribon Kol HaOlamim on Friday night, after we have just exchanged the greetings with the angels, And we say farewell to the weekday angels and welcome to the Shabbat angels, who are known as Malachei HaShalom, angels of peace, Malachei Elyon, heavenly angels, and they come from Melech Malchei HaMalachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from God. So I want to play Adon HaShalom. I think I played it a number of weeks ago, but it fits nicely for now. And I want to put one more spin on it related to the Parsha. There's an episode recorded in Parshat Vayera where Avimelech, the Melech of Gerar, took Sarah to his palace, thinking that she was only Avraham's sister, and was appeared to by God, who said, "Do not touch that woman. She is the wife of a great prophet," meaning Avraham. And Avimelech indignantly says to Avraham, when Avraham is convinced that Avimelech acted innocently in taking Sarah, or somewhat innocently, he prays to God that they be cured, Avimelech and his household were stricken with infertility for their attempt to take Sarah Imenu. And Avraham prays on their behalf. They are cured. And the very next portion tells us of God's promise that Sarah will give birth to a child to Avraham, even at an advanced age. And from there, we are taught that when one prays for the sake of others, very often the prayers are answered for him himself, the one who is praying, because that's what we should be doing. We shouldn't be just very selfish. I thought of that in the sequence of who we are praying for whom are we praying, in this passage of Adon HaShalom. Borcheni bashalom, bless me with peace. V'tifkod oti, and grant me, v'et kol b'nei veiti, and all the members of my household, v'chol amcha beit Yisrael, and all of your nation, the house of Israel. That's how people should pray. If you want to make a personal prayer and a plea to God, do it. But also include your family and your greater family and your people, and sometimes even all people in the world. And when it comes for a blessing of peace, we could all use it. So may it be God's will that we should have real peace, which means internal within the Jewish people, within the people of Israel, the state of Israel, and peace with our neighbors and with the rest of the world. And as usual, songs that we have are both meant to be songs for entertainment purposes, but more importantly, our prayer to God.
Ahai melech shehasholem sheloi Borchei hini basholoim Oy 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 adoboi nasholoi
Adoi nasholoi Ahai melech shehasholem sheloi Borchei hini Shalom.
השולם שלו
back with Torah Tidbits Audio. I changed the opener by pulling out, I think, one of the Looney Tune pieces and putting in the beginning of the theme of the A-Team. I started the second half of the show with the rest or the end of the A-Team opener. And all of this started for two reasons. I used to have those five pings, which were produced by a toy that I bought, a metal cylinder and a hammer that you bang on it, and I thought it was cool, but some people complained, including my sister-in-law and including the guy from Arut Sheva, who said it was an annoying sound. So I took that out. While I was taking that out, I put in some other different theme, and I decided to take out Rod Serling, whose music was too loud according to the Arut Sheva technicians, and rather than adjust it, I decided to do the A-Team. We'll come up with something. The standard for a long time so far has been the Creaky Door with E.G. Marshall from Radio Mystery Theater and the opener, and Lahavdil, the melody of Eitz Chaim Hi, a beautiful song about Torah, which the bottom line is the show is dedicated to Torah. We end up doing a lot of things aside from that, although everything somehow comes under the heading of Torah. I try to keep it light. I try to keep it wide-reaching so that different people can hear the show and get something out of it. And we will continue now, Tachlis, with Parshat Vayera. We did give it a little bit of a start with the business with Avraham Avinu and his acknowledgement of God as Adon, and with that other thing about praying on behalf of other people, and then you yourself can be helped, maybe more significantly than when you just pray selfishly for yourself. One way or the other, we're into Avraham and Sarah, Part 2. We were introduced to them at the very, very end of Parshat Noach, just as Noach was introduced to us at the end of Parshat Bereshit. But we didn't really get into the substance of who Avraham and Sarah were until Lech Lecha. It continues into Vayera. In Chayesara next week, Sarah Imenu has already passed on, and we get a little bit more glimpse into Avraham Avinu's nature and his life. But Vayera has very significant events in his life, culminating with the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, which we will talk about shortly. Let me make a general statement, which is maybe a half-baked idea, so I am running it up the flagpole and seeing how you react to it, to mix metaphors. Avraham Avinu was unique and is unique and will remain unique vis-a-vis human beings and vis-a-vis the Jewish people, especially since he had no background and precedent on which to be, on which to develop. He started from scratch. He was born an idol worshiper to an idol worshiping family in an idol worshiping society. And he made a personal rediscovery of one God and took to it so tenaciously and so enthusiastically that he could not be quiet about it. He did not believe in God just in the privacy of his own quiet life. He went out into the public and he preached and he spoke to people to the point of becoming very unpopular in his society. And our tradition says that Nimrod, the king, threw him into a fiery furnace to get rid of his influence that he was having on people. But to no avail, Avraham survived and continued to thrive in one place or another. And in the beginning of Lech Lecha, God sent him to the land of Israel, the future land of Israel, the land at the time was called the land of Canaan. And it was only after the indigenous population at the time ran out of their streak in God's patience, so to speak, until we were ready to come in and take the heritage of Avraham Avinu. We find repeated promises to Avraham, this land will be yours and for your descendants. Avraham at the beginning was skeptical as to who his descendants would be, since he had no children, and then he had Yishmael, and he thought maybe so, and then God tells him it was Yitzchak that would be his heir, not just family-wise, but nationhood-wise. And Yitzchak, through Yaakov and not Esav, become the definition of the Jewish people. When Avraham carries out God's command and wishes and comes to the land of Israel, things are not all good for him. He's met with a famine. He has a second famine in this week's Torah reading and various trials and tribulations through his life, where a lesser person than Avraham would turn to God as Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye, did and say, I know we are the chosen people, but maybe you could choose someone else for a change. He was feeling the burden of the various trials and tribulations that the descendants of Avraham Avinu have. Imagine how it was with Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu without any background to bolster them, without any support group. Any test of a person's faith today in Judaism has a rich Jewish history to fall back on and to say, we have developed over these centuries a strong belief in God and a bitachon, a sense of reliance and trust on in God and on God. And if in an individual situation things don't look like that, at least part of us is well aware of the fact that God knows what he's doing and that things work out for the best, and this is what life is like, and a person has to have faith in God and bitachon, confidence in him and trust in him through good times as well as not so good times. Avraham Avinu didn't know that. He discovered that. He originated that. And we owe him because of it, and we recognize him as the first and leader of the patriarchs. A very important part of Judaism is recognizing that the patriarchs were very special individuals, but they were also human beings. And not every single thing that they did is something that we emulate or imitate. There are things which we do. We say Avraham Avinu and Sarai Menu showed us how to be hospitable and how to be concerned with other people and how to spread Judaism to others. But there are things that we're not pleased to learn. Avram's son, by another marriage, so to speak, Yishmael, was causing a clash in the house with the raising of Yitzchak, son to Avraham Avinu, and Sarah Imenu. And Sarah said, get rid of this kid and his mother. Avraham hesitated to do that. He was too good a person to just do that, until God said, listen to Sarah, because Yitzchak is your main concern. Is this meant to be a model for our time? I would say definitely not. A person can have these kind of conflicts. He does not automatically do, Avraham Avinu did it, so I'll do it too. We don't do those things. We don't shun children by a previous marriage or children that are having an influence on other children in the house. We don't just get rid of them. And this is not meant as a criticism of Avraham and Sarah. It is meant as a statement of the reality and the truth of Torah, that it presents us with various episodes, those to learn to do from and those to learn what not to do from. But it is a real life situation. Avraham Avinu was a person. Sarah Imenu was a person. Not just a two-dimensional, held aloft concept, but real people. And there's a lot more for us to learn in that case than they would be if they were just very plastic kind of characters. Let me change gears slightly. I wrote about this. I want to say it also. There's a pair of verses in last week's Torah reading that I've always found very eye-catching and remarkable. One that tells us that Avraham was 86 years old when Yishmael was born. And the very next verse says, and Avraham was 99 years old, and the following happened to him. Creating a gap of 13 years where one can wonder why the Torah skipped telling us about those 13 years. What happened during those 13 years? The answer is nothing of significance to us happened during those 13 years. The Torah is not a complete journal or diary of the people that are written about in the Torah. The Torah, by God, picks and chooses what episodes to tell us, how to tell us of what happened, so that we can learn how to be good people and how to be good Jews. It is a very selective process, and to me what brings that across is that 13-year gap between psukim. Otherwise, the Torah wouldn't have bothered to tell us. With that said, everything that the Torah does tell us begs to teach us something, and we need to be perceptive. We need to look into our commentaries, into the Talmud, to see what lessons we are taught from the things that happen. We don't usually make these things up on our own. You can't just say the Torah says this and therefore this is the lesson that I learned from it. But we have a rich oral law, an oral tradition, and generations of source material to teach us that which the Torah means to teach us. Okay, let's move that on to the next step. If we can't relate to the events of Avraham Avinu because he was unique, then how are we supposed to learn from it? The answer is by intelligent application on an analogy level. In other words, let's talk about the Akedah for a moment. God says to Avraham, take your son, your only son, Yitzchak, and bring him as an offering on Har HaMoriah. That doesn't happen today, not like that. It will never happen. It happened that one time. So what does it mean? How do we relate to it? Well, the answer is, we are asked to make sacrifices in our lives in order to further our belief and the continuity of Judaism. A sacrifice doesn't have to be in that ultimate description at the end of Parshat Vayera in order for us to learn how to behave. But when called upon to sacrifice, when called upon to apply ourselves and to work hard in fulfillment of God's desire and His command, then we need to borrow the enthusiasm of an Avraham Avinu. We need to borrow the total commitment that he had to God and apply that in our own lives on our own level. Certainly, if you go back to Lech Lecha, make Aliyah, and then make it work when you're living in Israel, this is certainly things we can learn from Avraham Avinu. And we can be inspired by him. Part of this message is a Jew is not an isolated individual. He is part of a nation with X number of million members now and countless millions throughout the generations. Our being able to plug ourselves in to horizontal Judaism as well as vertical, if you can picture that image, the history of Judaism since it started, we are the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that does not have to mean that I can trace my lineage back to him, because a convert to Judaism becomes a descendant of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. In fact, a convert to Judaism is called by whatever name he chooses, Ben Avraham, or Ben Sarah, or Bat Avraham, or Bat Sarah, because Avraham and Sarah are the actual father and mother and the spiritual father and mother of the Jewish people. And a person who embraces Judaism and converts according to Halacha is a 100% full Jew. I digress now, but let's make this clear. We say in our prayer, Elokeinu, our God, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov. We say, Avoteinu, our forefathers. Can a convert to Judaism say that? There was a suggestion that he cannot, and has to adjust the text accordingly. We don't accept that as normative Jewish law. Jewish law says a convert to Judaism is a descendant of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, just as a born Jew. and a born Jew of a first generation, a second generation, a tenth generation, a hundredth generation, however far back one can trace, is not the issue here. A halachic Jew is a descendant of Avraham and Sarah. A halachic Jew is duty-bound to practice all of Judaism and would be very smart, if not duty-bound, I don't know if that word could apply here, to learn the lessons that we have in this week's Sedra, as well as the other Sedras. Another side point, there are no mitzvot out of 613 from this week's Sedra. But that does not mean that we don't learn things from this week's Sedra. The fact that the issue of Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick, Hachnasat Orchim, hospitality. I found it ironic that the word hospitality and hospital, which is more related to visiting the sick than welcoming guests, are joined by that word hospital. And these are two of the major themes at the beginning of Parshat Vayera, where we learn some of the fine points of these two great acts of chesed, an act of loving kindness, which is part of Jewish law, just like fasting on Yom Kippur and wearing talit and tefillin and keeping the Shabbat. This is part of being a Jew, to be hospitable and to not just do it your way. We learn some contrary examples from Sodom and from Mrs. Lot, and we learn some positive lessons from the way Avraham welcomed his guests and the way he escorted them and the way Sarah behaved and the way he involved his child at the time to be involved in this act of Hachnasat Orchim and his attitude of it vis-a-vis his relationship with God. All of these are very important lessons that we don't only learn things about Judaism from the 613 mitzvot, we learn them from the midot, the qualities, the properties, the traits, the characteristics that are presented to us in the Torah. And again I say, whether we learn good lessons for the good or negative lessons which we turn into a good lesson, that's the way to do it. Not, God forbid, to say, well, Avraham did this, and he was wrong, so I could do it, and I'll be wrong. It doesn't work like that. And the same thing goes for Yaakov as well. Let me change the subject abruptly. I awoke this morning to two pieces of news. The sad news that the Yankees had won the World Series, and the phenomenal news that the Israeli Navy had boarded a ship which originated with Iran and was a German ship flying an Antigua flag going through Cyprus and who knows how many other countries were involved, where an unbelievable amount, 500 tons of explosives and weapons and ammunition were confiscated. I don't know what the ripple effect of this is going to be, but I certainly thank God for his helping hand and thank the Israeli government and military for their cooperation in this astounding feat. It is something that unfortunately the world will probably not learn anything from, that Iran is a terror state and people can talk about it, and here's another manifestation of it, and that message doesn't seem to get through to a lot of the nations of the world, but Israel has to do what it has to do. And the fact that the United States is there to express its disapproval of Iran and to give support to Israel, even if it's not as much as we would like, there's a feeling that this time we did the right thing, and I hope that the results will continue to show it. I won't make a comment about the Yankees winning. That is just thrown in for people who know me personally and know my baseball prejudices. There's only one other team that I would If they were playing against the Yankees, I would root for the Yankees, and that's the Los Angeles Dodgers. So by now you should figure out, if you didn't know already, that I'm a Giants fan. Better luck next year, as the saying goes. And as weird as it is to say, on that note, I will wish you a Shabbat Shalom, Lehish Tameah.